Hey everybody, welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. My name is Jay.
I'm Colleen.
And I'm the confused look on Wu's face after every vote.
And welcome to the show, everybody. We had a tribal swap today.
Yes. You know, I always hate tribal swaps, but I think when you have returning players like this, you have to do it.
Yeah, because they know the game. You got to switch it up.
Well, some know the game.
But for Anchor, it was kind of a crappy situation for them. I feel bad.
Yeah, it was.
But, you know.
Tough break.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. It's the name of the game. But overall, though, another good episode. Colleen, was it still in line with best season ever? Hashtag best season ever?
I still loved it.
That's good. That's good. Even though our good friend Varner almost...
He screwed up.
Blew it again.
Yeah. Teflon Varner. Hey, that's why you keep Abby around. That totally paid off for him last week.
That's true.
She was the shield.
It's true.
It also helps being on the same tribe as Wu and Fiji.
PG?
PG.
Yeah. PG, Fiji, whatever name is.
I totally thought that how funny it would be if Savage got screwed again by the new twist in this game, just like he got screwed by the Outcast twist.
My first thought was, you should have saved the wife's speech until the merge. I go, wow, you blew it there, Savage.
No, we could have retold it. Tasha was the only one that heard it, and she loved it. She cried the first time.
Yeah, she should have said, tell the wife's speech.
That's
true. That's very true.
Yeah. Tell that story about that time that your roommate was dating some model, and did you mention that she's a world-famous model, and then you stole her, and then she came back to you, and you got married. Tell that story again.
We lived happily ever after. Yeah.
Tell it again,
so
Andrew.
Many feelings. So
and then Jeremy, knowing again. That Savage is telling the story, he's not there, but he walks away in tears.
Yes. yes.
I sense my friend Savage is telling the story.
Well, actually,
again.
I read a theory, and I'm sorry I'm stealing this from the tribe's Facebook page, but somebody, I think it was the tribe's Facebook page, somebody had pointed, maybe it was a comment on EW or something. I read a lot of those things this week, but so whoever this is, if you're hearing this, I am borrowing your theory, and I'm so sorry. That
I'd say steal it.
I think that credit to you, mystery person. That they said that they thought that perhaps everybody was just sitting around sharing stories of when they met their wives, and the point of sharing Savage's story on screen wasn't because it was to set up Savage, it was to set up the Jeremy confessional, because perhaps big things are coming for Jeremy and they needed that moment for him more so than Savage.
Could be.
Because that would make more sense why they told that random story that, you know, wasn't...
Or it was just a good story.
It wasn't that good of a story.
I had some feels.
Yeah, because he talked about Playboy.
No.
Yes.
Maybe I just...
I was jealous at that part. I said, I've never been invited to Playboy.
So welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. We are not experts by any stretch of the imagination, but we're big fans of the show. So when you listen to this show, please don't expect every single thing to be accurate. And just so you know, Colleen, you're on the mic, so if you try to whisper in the background, they can still hear you.
Dude, you just Kelly Wiggleworth me.
I did.
Rat. I'm just, rat. Rat.
We got rat. A rat here. Rat. We got a rat.
I was just going to say, your knowledge is on another island.
Yes, thanks.
I did want to bring up something that happened last week.
But before we get to that, before we get into any more talk,
all right.
The reason we are here is because of the generosity of our listeners. Yes, all of our podcasts now are free for everybody, and that is made possible by the contributions of our listeners over
Except
at Patreon.
Except the rats.
Yeah, hold on. Can you hear me chewing my pretzel?
No.
Okay, good.
So good job.
Thanks.
Or if you need to chew a pretzel, just, you know, turn off your mic. But make
sure
you turn
it
back on. It's the key is turning it back on. That's the difficult part. I know it's...
You'll still hear
podcasting
me.
Podcasting is very difficult.
I see the review now. They are always chewing pretzels while they're podcasting.
The worst.
Consider me unsubscribed.
But it is made possible over at patreon.com/JayandJack, patreon.com/JayandJack. We are currently at 73 patrons, $559.50 a month. Fantastic. We've already hit our first goal. We are doing the Serenity podcast which will close out our Firefly podcast. So we're going to recap the movie and talk about the movie, which will close out that podcast. But really, we have a few different goals at $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. But for the Survivor podcast, where I think it's relevant for Survivor fans out there, is Jack's Wild Ride. Aww. Yes, if we hit $2,000 a month, we will release the VHS hard copy of Jack's infamous first Survivor edition, which had many things like a young Cliff, as well as Jack driving the Zamboni naked. It's about 13 years old at this point.
Didn't I do donuts with the Zamboni?
Maybe. Yeah. That may be. Either way, that is something to strive for,
to shoot for.
You're
not going to release the whole thing, right? Because I've seen the whole tape, and it's kind of boring up until the point where there's
well, that's probably
naked
why
Jack on the
I never
Zamboni.
Got picked for the... I think you have to have Cliff in there.
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys could edit it to be a little bit better.
Well, again, it's the
but
Rock.
You know what?
It's,
everybody will be able to judge it for themselves, hopefully.
I don't have the actual audition tape anymore. I have the raw footage, so I have all of the raw footage that was shot.
Oh, so that was raw footage that I saw?
Yes. So you didn't see the final edited video.
Thank God.
But either way, Jack driving the Zamboni naked is a fantastic goal to get to. At $2,000 a month, once we hit that goal, we will go there. Go again, check it out at patreon.com/JaneJack. Thank you for everybody that's done it so far.
And, you know, I did some research. I was just kind of going on there and just seeing what different people are doing on there.
Yeah.
There's people playing video games that are getting $24,000 a month.
Cool. Good for
them. They have like 5,500 Patreons, whatever they're called.
Patrons.
Watching people play video games.
That's a big thing right now. People playing video games.
I think it's Mike told us that in Michael David told us that in San Diego. I'm like going, really? That's a thing?
Oh yeah, it's really popular.
I'm just out of touch, so I should get back the old videos of me playing Atari.
Yeah, that's it. We're not doing podcasts anymore. We're just going to videotape us playing old.
I'm going to bring out the old Pong because I have the old. Your sister got me the old Atari stuff.
But let's get back into the Survivor discussion. We have a new episode called We Got a Rat.
But wait, I wanted to talk about, did you hear what happened last week? You want to save this for the end?
Go ahead and talk about it right now. Let's save it before we go into the next episode.
I don't know if you guys saw the thing where it was Rob, Sharin, and Dalton Ross. Dalton Ross. She talks about
how, after she was
voted out, she turned to everybody and said, oh, by the way, Terry has an idol. Now, do you think that's fair play, or do you think it shouldn't? I'm glad they didn't show it. But I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on it.
Here's my thought about that. Has any Survivor on Twitter backed her up that that's what happened? Because I think Shireen, who loves drama and attention, and I like Shireen. I do like Shireen, but come on now. She likes drama just as much as I do, and she loves attention more than anybody else. So I think that she's doing all of this in a desperate bid to keep her Survivor relevancy and protect her legacy because she got voted out second. And it's kind of like sore loser-y to me that all of her interviews, if it was important and if it had any bearing on the plot whatsoever,
it would have been in
then
there.
It would have been in there. But it doesn't. It had no part of the story. Kelly Wentworth, when she was trying to plant the seeds that Terry had the idol, she wasn't doing it because of what Shireen said at Tribal Council. She was doing it to take the suspicion and the heat off of herself.
Right.
So I think that Shireen is just...
So
kind
she
of
made it up, like it didn't even happen?
No, it could have happened. It might have happened. I'll give the benefit of the doubt that it happened. But I think that it's kind of a little bit desperate attempt to remain, give herself a, like, because now, look, more people are focusing on her telling the story, like, guess what she did, than saying, guess what she did to get voted out.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of what my thought was. Because when you're in the game, there are no rules. If she would have done that, say she would have done that during the tribal to try to shake things up. But if she did do it, the only reason she didn't do it during tribal was she figured, well, Spencer was probably the likely one to go home. She probably didn't want to ruffle any feathers. Mm-hmm. And I think she was hoping it would get that, it would be shown at the end. Oh, with all the drama and all this stuff, like kind of like you're saying. And they decided not to show it, which I'm glad they didn't, because I think once you're out of the game, unless you're on the jury, you're done.
Yeah.
You had your chance. You're done. It's like when I blasted Penner a few years ago when he was his drama thing. I mean, there's only certain things on Survivor. There's memorable things you guys remember. Obviously, Sue is, for me, the number one thing because it was genuine. It was real. And everybody's
a true place of hatred.
Yeah. I mean, it cost Kelly $1 million because Sue felt betrayed. She thought they were friends, and she felt betrayed. She took it personal. And it cost Kelly $1 million because she only lost by one vote.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Everyone's tried to reproduce that. And there's been things over the time. Even Shireen last year when she got voted off, when her torch got, you know, and Jeff said, the tribe has spoken. She said, oh, I've always wanted to hear that. And that was genuine. But this thing is, like Colleen said, it was a grasp for attention. And I just wish, I'm glad they didn't show up because of that.
Yeah, I agree.
It just would have me cheapened the game. But that's, I'm glad we all agree.
All right. Well,
let's get it off my chest.
Let's get into the episode title, We Got a Rat. And when it was first, when Colleen first mentioned the title, I thought it was going to be based upon Kelly Wigglesworth. I was like, all right, we're going to focus on Kelly a little bit.
I didn't even think about that. I was thinking maybe they were eating rats or something like that. I'm serious. I thought it was going back to eating rats because we haven't had that in a while.
No, but they did show Joe breaking the chicken's neck.
Yeah.
I looked away, so I didn't see it. Really
pushing those PETA people.
All right. Well,
pushing Kimmy. Oh, she wasn't on that tribe.
Yes. We start off with Takeo, post-tribal. And Spencer is happy to be alive. He loves that he has a second chance. And
there'll be no craziness. No craziness for me.
And Terry has gone from the bottom to the top without any fear of getting voted out on top of the world. Which, you know, that generally goes well.
Now, how many people thought Terry was going to be the one going home after that speech?
Me.
I'll raise my hand right now.
Yeah, I said, oh, Terry's going home.
And then the next scene, we go to an at Jeff Probst, Jeff sets up the tribes for a tribal switcheroo. It's basically like, do you like the tribes you're in right now? Oh, yeah, it's really nice. I love it so much. Do you really love it? Yes, I love
it
so much.
They're the love tribe.
Well, guess what? It's getting broken up. We have a unique switcheroo in that we're going from two tribes to three tribes.
How many people were wondering if Kelly brought her idol?
This was a big question that was asked all week long, and I think that since production knew where it was buried, it counted as the belongings that people they bring your belongings over to the other camp for you waiting, that they most likely did that since it was in her possession still.
Oh, okay. I thought she buried it, though.
She did, but it was still hers in her possession. It wasn't.
Oh, so they go and dig it up and.
And throw it in her bag.
Possession is 9/10.
Yeah, and throw it in her bag.
I don't think they should do that.
I agree, because if you bury it, you put yourself at the risk of not having it with you.
Because if you bury it, someone else could find it.
Yeah.
I don't think they should. If that's the case, I don't think they should do that. It's kind of the. It's because Survivor changing the tribes is. You know, it was a surprise to all of them. It'd be like, oh, my idol's over there. How am I going to get my idol?
Well, I think we would have seen a confessional or something about it if she had lost it.
Yeah.
And she tweeted to Jeremy tonight, welcome to the club, meaning
I believe she still had it.
Yeah.
Except they didn't talk about it.
Andrew's not happy about the fact there's going to be a swap. And guess what he ends up on? What I love is the Angkor tribe. It's an apt title for their tribe.
But not only did he get screwed on that, but they got no shelter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of after, what's there, 9 days they were there, whatever it was, 8 days? It's just like, no shelter.
6 days, yeah.
6 days, what, you're killing me.
So then we have Angkor, Takeo, and Bayan. Spencer may have been saved, and it seemed like at the time, Fishback, not so much, but... somehow he keeps alive, and we have our first commercial break.
Because they don't keep going to tribal council.
Yes.
He's not on Camp Macho anymore.
No.
Well, we go to commercial break, and then we come back to Anchor. And Wu begs for the majority to be like, please, man, just please.
Can we just relax and have a good time and just keep the four votes strong and not have to worry about it? Because that'd be cool.
Be really cool, bro.
Yeah, and I'm saying that, but I really like Wu.
So do I.
But the guy's just too nice for the game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Even though I say this, and he finished second, but he should have won.
Oh yeah, he should have easily won. Tasha has a really positive attitude. I give her kudos because it's very.
She's
easy.
Always smiling, like Jeff.
Absolutely,
points out.
You could have been the savage in this situation and be like, "Boo, boo, boo."
She's like me. I just walk into a room and I'm smiling all the time. Yeah. I'm happy, never complaining. Just They call me Bubbles. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I podcast with a room full of optimists. But she's going to play the cards that she's been dealt. So I love that attitude. It's a good attitude by her. And then we go to the new Takeo. And Terry's excited they got several first draft picks. He doesn't need the numbers.
I'm safe.
It's so ridiculous. But hey, you know something? Good for him. He was just really proud that he made a friend. And that friend wasn't going to be crazy enough to call him all the time because she ended up on a different tribe.
That is like the perfect situation, mm-hmm. right? and then Sierra and Cass are excited about how things turned out. I think that was kind of maybe a foreshadowing bit of video there between the two of them.
Yeah, I think so.
And Kelly Wentworth puts the heat on Terry and Spencer, saying they're both looking for the idol the most.
Yes. That was good. That was good. That was smart on her part.
Was smart. Yeah. We then go to commercial break and we come back to the new Bayonne. And Kelly and Spencer love the new camp. And Monica is happy to be in the majority. I think Monica is just happy to finally maybe get some airtime.
Yeah, I forgot all about her. I forget about her every. And it's not easily her fault. It's just her and Kimmy get no airtime. Kimmy got. She laughed today while she was sitting in the hammock.
That just means they're boring is what it means.
And Sierra, the only airtime Sierra's gotten is.
But at least it was like showing her strategizing, and it seemed like Sierra and Cass had a good bond going.
I'm not going to make the same mistakes I made last time. I'm not voting off my mom.
Guys, I think Cass is going far. I mean, there is no indication that she is being Chaos Cass at all.
Well, because she was so, that's what made her interesting the first time around. Now she's just like, she's like furniture. She's just there. I mean, she's.
But now is that the better play? Now, granted, the way she played the first time is what brought her back. But I think now it's a smarter play.
It's a smarter play because she could win it this time.
Yeah.
By not ruffling any feathers. So.
Yep. Absolutely. So I agree. It's not as fun, but hopefully she sticks with it because I think it's the right move. Steven is happy to not be in Camp Macho anymore. Quote unquote, I know I'm safe. Again, we're like, oh, yep, you're gone.
Can we not see him work a machete again? Ever? I mean, it's sad. I mean, I keep waiting for him to chop off his foot. That's how he's not going to get voted out. He's going to injure himself and be sad.
The one good thing about this, I guess, is it, at least unlike the first time with him using the machete where it showed how he was on the outs, this time it showed how he kind of got to have a little moment with Spencer.
Yeah.
So
Spencer was laughing at him.
Of course, because it was funny.
At least he brought in kind of, it's the laughing together
yeah,
as opposed to laughing
making,
at.
Making some fun of himself. And
exactly.
Having
so yeah. That was a better play than probably what Steven was doing the first time. But again, it could all be in the editing as well. A lot of that is in the editing.
Right.
And then we go to Spencer, who says, I played logically, but that is flawed, you think? I'm trying to play with feelings. He tells Jeremy his girlfriend said, I love you, and I still haven't said it back. Hope this exchange will help him to see.
We've been dating for 10 years. She said, I love you every day for the past 10 years. I still haven't decided. I don't know.
And he hopes this exchange will help him to seem more emotional.
Jeremy, well, man.
You say he's like a robot?
Yeah. It's just like, even when he's trying to say, hey, I can play with feelings, he's doing it totally logically. Like,
well,
he's
like Jeremy
not...
said, Jeremy goes, I like the kid. You know, he could have some bonding time as long as we keep him around.
Exactly. Jeremy said, yeah, I can use him right now. So.
Yeah.
It was that whole scene. I mean, it was the only scene we got out of that tribe. So it was kind of interesting, though. I thought for sure that Steven was going to end up on the outs and we were going to get a confessional, you know, if they had lost, where, all right, well, Spencer can just take Steven's spot in the alliance because I can trust him and I can bond with him. But we didn't get that. And I got really nervous when they had that whole sequence where Steven was talking about the idol. And I thought for sure, just
you're jumping the gun.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Bit.
I'm so
well,
sorry.
You got to. The only thing hurting Spencer is people know he's good at strategy also.
Exactly.
So you have Fishbeck, who's good at it, Spencer, who's good at it. It's who do they trust more?
Right. Okay, so then let me go back to the Spencer thing. And I feel kind of bad that his girlfriend, everybody. Imagine if he came back and still didn't say, I love you.
Does he still have that girlfriend?
Is
she watching it right now?
Yeah, he still does. She's in his Instagram pictures.
They're watching it together.
Imagine if
with the whole fam, her parents were over too.
Yeah, right.
Her parents were over and they're just looking at it going,
Awkward.
So Spencer's in hot water right now.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I hope that he said I love you when he got back home and was like, yeah, so there might be a scene. So let me just get this out of the way now.
He was just, that was his version of Johnny Fairplay.
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. Oh yeah, because he didn't actually have a girlfriend.
Yeah. No, he actually, yeah, exactly. He manti-teo'd it. So, and I can say that because I'm a Charger fan.
Oh man. So then we go back to Angkor. There's lots of rain, and Varner flips the bird at the rain. Again, we're going to positive Tasha. Tasha's hardened by her previous game. She's ready to take it. She sees cracks in Abby's relationship with PG.
But she was a good player the first time around.
She was very
terrible
good.
Tribe.
And then by the time she got in the other tribe, she was a threat. So then
right,
she got kicked
yeah
out. Abby enjoys Tasha's sweet nothings into her here. and Varner doesn't care. He wants to get into the journey. But he sees
Journey.
Ben, sorry.
What instrument does he
don't
play?
Don't stop. He wants to be the singer. Believe him. But he sees Andrew and Tasha talking to everyone, making deals.
Right.
And we go to a commercial break. We come back to Bayonne. There's a scorpion in the camp. That's not a metaphor. There actually literally was a scorpion. And
unlike Mike, they didn't eat it.
They wasted it. You need protein.
Right.
Mike would have, you know what, Mike
just,
dumped,
and just
a, jumped on the firewood. I got to have that protein. Got to have it.
Whoever, you know something?
From though? Those stupid beginnings, he went on to win Survivor.
Well, wait, who killed this? Who actually killed the scorpion?
What
it
do you
was,
mean?
I think Kelly Wigglesworth.
Wigglesworth did? Okay.
Okay, so then
she dumped it into the fire.
Yeah.
So then she's not winning because it's whoever eats the scorpion wins.
Right.
That's true.
It's like good luck.
It's scorpion blood. It's like tiger blood, but different. Fishback wants to find the idol for his tribe and the core for, or not so much, go looking for it.
So this is where I got nervous. I was like, oh my God, we're going to get a Jeremy confessional about, you know, Fishback is always looking for the idol, and it's just going to be a continuation of
Savage
thing. I thought
Fishback positioned it well in that we need to find as a tribe just to, you know, solidify.
And he did, and that made me feel a lot better about the situation temporarily.
But
so,
didn't he say it with, like, Spencer standing 10 feet away?
Yeah, he didn't make it a secret. But it could have been a whisper, you know.
Yeah, you know. Maybe that team is better at whispering things than the other team. But, okay, so I have a theory about based on the tribe breakdowns with Steven. And I could be completely 100% wrong. So it could go either. It could go two ways. The first way is that Spencer decides he's not going to align with Steven because aligning with Shireen, another strategist student of the game, is what got him almost voted out the first time. So I think that that could go very poorly for Steven. My other theory is I think that he may be the merge boot. I think he might make it as far as the merge, not to the jury, but to the merge. And my theory behind this is that they have been setting up a Steven Savage conflict the entire time, haven't they? It's the first they kind of have the first
not
every,
as hard as Vetus and Aris.
No,
Aris.
No, they've been setting that up, and I with the because the first two episodes you had the Savage, you know, I don't trust Fish,
yeah.
And then last time he's got no morals.
Or maybe more probably Jeremy and
Jeremy and Steven and
no,
Andrew.
No. That went Jeremy season when he was going up against. I'm blanking on his, the other guy's
name.
Josh. Jeremy and Josh.
And then they both went out 1-2 with the merge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, that could be it too. So they've been setting it up to be the two of them kind of against each other. The reason that Steven didn't really feel welcome was mainly because of Andrew almost. Unless Steven goes home at the hands of Jeremy carrying out Andrew's work, I think that he might make it to the merge because we need to have the payoff of that storyline, don't we? Why are we seeing all of that if there's not going to be some kind of Steven either gets redemption and fits in or Steven goes home because he was never able to fit in? I mean, that was the only thing that we were really seeing for the last two episodes on that tribe. So unless there's another swap, the only way, I'm sorry, I'm getting the wrap it up. The only way that we can get the payoff would be if they're together again, right?
Well, who should Steven work with then? Should he try and stick with his four? Because I think Jeremy would go with Spencer over.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, I think that's my other theory is well, it could just all go to hell. And
I just think that Steven has to work with somebody. And he's trying. He's work what we see, but I don't know. I see Jeremy not wanting to work with the Fishbeck.
I could see that.
I think your heart is clouding your judgment on this one.
Probably.
Since you are a
you know, every year I pick the Padres and Chargers to win the Super Bowl and World Series. Just saying.
I don't think Steven's winning. I don't think he's even making the jury. I'm just going for the merge. Just let him get to the merge.
Sometimes I hope they just win a game. So
please be just go to the merge.
Through all of this searching, Jeremy finds the idle clue, which is a good segue for hashtag immunity challenge. And the challenge is a cart, obstacle course, key, grab, safe, unlock, circle, dragon, puzzle challenge.
That was a tough one.
And apparently, I guess it was from the Brains, Bronze, Beauty.
Right.
So I like that each person was on. I like how they set that one up.
When they said that, did you miss Morgan at all?
Yes. I miss Morgan every episode.
Did everyone go, oh, that's right, Morgan was on that show.
I know I did.
All right, anyway.
Jeremy, and it was a good challenge, very difficult. I thought Jeremy handled the hidden immunity much better than Wentworth.
Well, to be fair, it was right there. I mean,
It was.
But he was smart, though. He put himself. Who did he push out of the way? He goes, I got it. I get over here.
Well, but he was getting the key each box anyway.
Right.
So very well.
He had planned ahead.
So kudos to him. He very slyly gets the hidden immunity idol. And after it's a battle as always. But ends up anchor is the anchor, and they do not win. And Varner starts to mouth to Wiggles about Abby, and then Tasha.
Well, we think it was about Abby.
He was saying
I thought
Abby
he was,
pretty
clearly.
I thought he said Monica.
Really?
Really? I thought he said Abby Maria.
That's what I
maybe
thought.
That's what,
Abby
maybe
Maria.
That's what he was saying, but I kept thought I was thought I go why is he is I go who's he I couldn't really figure out who he was saying. So maybe it was Abby Maria.
Like maybe he was trying to tell Kelly Wigglesworth, like, don't worry, we're gonna get Abby out.
But why? Like,
Why tell Kelly anything?
Because they're in an alliance.
I guess,
kind
but,
of.
But Abby or Monica, what? Why is it relevant?
Because I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to reassure her that.
Well, he's overplaying the game.
Of course he is, and that's why his entire as long as he lasts on the show, it's going to be so spectacular and entertaining.
But you don't want to show anybody that you're in alliance with someone on another team.
Of course not. That's why it was so terrible that he got caught.
But in fairness to him, Wigglesworth also telegraphed that she was.
She was
being
pretty much like,
to.
"Wait, what?
Like, what? Huh?
I can't understand.
I can't hear you.
Speak louder. Tell me, you're voting off Abby.
Send me an email.
Tree mail. It's a thing. Tasha very quickly goes, we have a rat, we have a rat. It was very much like a kid tattling on somebody.
But Jeff couldn't
even saying something.
Varner couldn't even say anything. He's like, for the first time in his life, he was speechless.
But he knows Varner's in trouble.
I love Varner. I hope he goes until that last final five.
Where in North
episode.
Carolina does he live?
I don't know. Let's find out.
He was Greensboro when he was on the show for the first time.
Well, Kelly Wigglesworth is Greensboro.
Is she?
It says hometown Greensboro.
Yes.
Varner, Greensboro.
Oh.
So, God, I'm good.
So that's why they have an alliance.
Maybe. I just remember the first time he was ever shown on the show, he said from Greensboro, North Carolina. I remember it on
so
the screen.
So, Jay, when you have your next toy show in Greensboro,
yeah,
we should totally, I don't know, cross our fingers that he likes old toys.
Let's invite him down. Hang out with the nerds.
Come look at my toys.
Do you want to buy a 1990s Ghostbusters figure? Well, I've got the booth for you.
Woohoo!
Oh, man. We go back to the Anchor Tribe, and Savage thinks Varner's painted a target on his back. That's an obvious one there. And he makes a play for Woo and PG.
Now, do you think Woo and PG made a mistake?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're gonna talk about this. Give us some time. We'll talk about this away from you, and
that was hysterical.
Okay, and we'll get back to you, okay? Because you know we got to talk. Would have been better just say, okay, that's you know what, you're right. He can't be trusted. We're with you. That's all they had to say.
I agree.
And that's why you know, they just don't play. They're just not smart.
No. I mean, I don't remember PG's game. I don't think I watched that season.
I did watch it, but
that was China, right?
Yeah, I think she didn't get along with people there too. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay. Abby wants to vote Varner out because he is too all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is probably the the funniest thing Abby said on season.
But she at least can notice that someone is like that because she is like that. So
maybe. She says that about everybody. Anybody that's not her is.
Oh man,
she's committed.
So then PG thinks Abby has been tight the whole time, like when Abby says, you know, like I.
Oh, that was so funny when PG said to Abby, I thought that's what
we've
been
cool. Tight the whole time. I thought we're cool the whole time. Really, like, PG?
Weren't you just talking smack about her 3 days ago?
Since they merged, I thought she said.
Yeah, she did say since the tribe swap.
Well, it was even awkward when the shelter went. It was raining when Varner was flipping off the rain. And she turns to Abby and goes, oh, you're so dry. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm wet. You want my spot? Ah!
Oh, my God. But PG wants Abby out. It backfires, and it makes it a vote between PG and Abby, and somehow Varner moves out of the discussion.
Teflon Jeff.
Yeah, that was just a miracle.
It's not a miracle. It's thank God you have Abby on your tribe that you're with. And Wu. And PG.
And PG.
So he just got lucky. And then we go to hashtag Tribal Council, and they talk about Varner's challenge. Or Varner's actions after the challenge. And Varner says, Savage and Tasha are on the top now. Now, I think that was a great play by Varner saying that. But what's hilarious is like, okay, these two people that should have no power at all have all the power. And Wu, PG, Varner, and Abby are totally okay with it.
Well, PG kept shaking her head. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They have the power.
And
there's four of us, two of them, but they have the power.
And I can't believe it. I can't believe that's where they're going with it.
I don't know. It's a crack up.
It's a crazy game.
But I guess they're all right with it. Abby thinks she's going home, and PG expresses her loyalty. But in the end, PG is voted out, and Wu has his classic hashtag Wu face. And he is left on the outs, and Abby, classic Abby, teases that this is the second time he wrote my name.
And Wu goes, huh?
Did I?
Abby's going to be going after Wu now.
Yeah. Closing out another exciting episode.
You forgot the part where Jeff, though, when they asked him about, he goes, you know what? I haven't been eating right. I don't know. I can't even remember what happened. And he's talking about the thing.
The
I go,
classic, I don't remember.
I don't recall. I just don't recall. I just don't remember what happened.
What trial was that? Where it's like, I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't recall.
I don't. Was that OJ?
That might have been OJ. I don't know. Well, it's also the Clintons used it a lot.
Oh, that's right. That's the Clinton thing.
I don't recall.
Hey, it worked for them. So
actually, Tom Brady used it too.
That's right, Tom Brady. So Tom again, Brady. I guess it's a good play.
When in doubt, say, I don't recall.
One is, you know, made millions of dollars after his presidency, and Tom Brady somehow, you know, Teflon Tom Brady.
Teflon Tom.
So Varner's just taking on the Teflon approach of the Clintons and the Bradys. I think it's a smart move.
That's going to be my approach to everything when my wife is yelling at me. I don't recall. I don't recall. I have it on video.
Maybe Varner was actually just mouthing to Kelly Wigglesworth that he figured out what bit his ass.
But again, I thought another good episode. Any other thoughts about this episode, guys?
I thought it wasn't as good as last week, but I thought it was a good episode.
You're all right with the tribe swap, how they did it?
Yeah, I mean, they have. I've never liked it. Expect, you know, like when there's new tribes because new groups because you work hard to get an alliance, and then but here people probably have.
But
you know,
I love that. I love that from our standpoint.
From a fan standpoint, but if a player would be like, oh, come on. Like you get like Savage where you see it all the time where someone's on top and they get on a tribe where they're the lone person. And it's like, oh, that's not fair. But it's Survivor. Survivor isn't fair.
But I agree with you. I think it's the only way to make sure that or maybe not make sure, but at least make it harder for people that maybe try to form alliances before.
It wouldn't be any fun if they had pre-game alliances and they don't. You know, they don't mix it up.
I agree. I agree completely. All right. Well, that is it for the episode. And now it is time to tally the votes. So let's see how we did from last week. I'll pull it up now. In episode for episode 3, Colleen chose Abby.
I was close. Wrong.
You're halfway there.
That's the second time you picked Abby. She's listening.
She's going to get votes at every single tribal council watch, and every time she's going to go all the way to the end.
Jack also picked Abby. And
I did that at I had pressure. Someone had a gun in my head, Abby.
I picked Spencer. So we were all wrong.
Well, at least some of us got votes.
Yeah.
So that's like saying Abby's, you know, she's getting votes. The key is she getting voted off?
Oh, you didn't
say
it.
She set the record for most votes in a season. Like, what is the record for most votes?
I think it is, what's his face? Jonathan Penner, right?
I don't know. For the Survivor historians out there, please write in at lostpodcast.gmail.com.
I'm pretty sure that Penner, in his jury speech during Philippines, said that he believes that he's now gotten more votes than anybody. Okay. No. It was fact check when he said that.
Oh, really? Okay. It wasn't just Penner being Penner.
No, because... No.
I proclaim that I, Penner, got the most votes in the history of the game.
So Philip
today,
Shepherd...
Today.
It was Philip Shepherd, and then I'm pretty sure Penner overcame him, maybe?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't recall.
Hold on, I can. I'm on the Survivor Wikipedia.
Well,
right
it was it was tied with Philip Shepherd, and Penner voted for himself to break the tie.
I know I voted myself out, guys, but I'd rather be in the history books.
Okay, so yes. So with 17, Philip has received 22 votes at Tribal Council, tied with Andrea Bohickey for the most among contestants who have played twice with 17 votes. Philip had the most votes against one person who made it to a final tribal council. He initially had the record for most votes in a single overall season, outdoing Jonathan Penner's record. So, Philip Shepherd, this fact was referenced during the final tribal council of Survivor Philippines. His record was quickly tied by Ozzy in South Pacific and broken by Laura Moret in Blood versus Water with 19 votes against her. So... the answer is Laura Moret has the most votes in a single season.
That's a boring one. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. All right. So now it is time to tally the votes for next week's episode, episode 4. Colleen, who is your pick for, to go home?
I think it's going to be Steven.
All right.
As much as I hate to say it, I just...
Please don't go, Steven. Please don't go.
But the wiki also says when you read down that Baylor Wilson and Samuel Nilser tied Phillips' record.
All right. Sorry. Action Jackson, who is your
all right.
Pick?
Well, it's not going to be from Terry's tribe because they are unbeatable, says Terry. I don't know. I hate to say it, but I think it's going to be Wu.
Wow. Okay.
I think they lose, and I think Wu goes.
Well, Shut Up Tim's mom, so far has picked for in the.
And who is Shut Up Tim? For maybe people that don't know who Shut Up Tim is.
Shut Up Tim. Everybody knows who Shut Up Tim is.
All right, fair enough.
Keep going. He's a guy who won't shut up.
He won't shut up. He does the tribe with me, because I'm special enough to do two Survivor podcasts, and I'm terrible on both of them. So his mom picked the first week at the start of the season. She had picked Vetus as her overall pick, and then Vetus was voted out first, of course. And then she had to change her vote before the second episode, and she picked Shireen as her overall pick, and then Shireen went home. And before this episode, she picked Wu. So now we're kind of all on Wu watch. Like
Hashtag Wu watch?
Yeah, hashtag Wu watch. He's going home.
It's different than Wu face.
Is it?
Yes. All right. So
nothing's better than Wu face.
What if Wu makes Wu face during Wu watch? It's not often that I get Jay to actually laugh at something I say during a podcast.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, that one wasn't as funny.
Yeah, just, you know when a joke goes too far and you don't know when to stop?
Yeah, it was the law of threes. I had
to wound. Okay. And it's back. All right.
All right, you saved it. Six save on that one. There you go. Good job. Good job.
All right, my pick is...
That was wonderful, Jay.
All right. So...
See, I
made it work. I'm just staying silent over here with my woo face. I'm not saying anything.
Resting woo face.
Yeah, resting woo face.
Resting woo face. Oh, man. All right. My pick. My
this
pick.
Is woo-diculous. Woo! All right.
So, anyway, my pick is going to be Varner. He's playing too fast, too loose. He's not Tony. Yep. He doesn't have a spy shack.
No,
so.
Varner goes home the week after Abby goes home. Mark my words. Or the week that Abby decides that she's done with him.
She was done with him at one point, but who knows? All right. So,
she hated PG more.
So far, nobody has gotten any points. And the picks to win it all, Colleen is with Wentworth, Jack is with Wigglesworth, and I'm with Jeremy. And so all of our original picks are still in the game. So far, horrible at picking who's going to get kicked off, but so far we...
You could be right with Varner, him. Because if I'm on the tribe, I keep Wu, because Wu doesn't really play the game, yeah. So or Varner does. So the smart pick would... The only thing is I'm worried that Varner, he could get into Savage and say, look, okay, you know, I made some mistakes, but I'm with you. Let's go old school. Let's do the whole old school thing. And whereas Wu would just be... I mean, he doesn't even know who he never knows who the vote is going to be. He just doesn't. I mean, they just don't include him. He's wooless. So there.
Hashtag wooless. You know how some people get up on at Final Tribal Council and like somebody like Denise is like, I was at every single Tribal Council this game. And then somebody else, you know, says, well, I put each one of you here. I was on the winning side of every single vote. So I voted for everybody that's on there. Wu could get up there and be like, so I voted for none of you because I literally was wooless.
In fact, I knew none of you were even going home.
Yeah, so. I never knew.
I could say I knew none of Wu.
And we're making fun of him, but we all like him.
Seriously, Wu, if you ever want to come on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Wu it.
It would be so cool.
How can we woo you to come on this show? It's wonderful.
All right.
I think after that, it's a shirin.
Yeah,
it's a shoo-in that
it's
he's going to come on.
It's a
shirin-in? Shirin-in, yeah.
God. No, we're not playing that one.
That doesn't work as well.
No, shirin just doesn't roll.
Got to be careful
with
that one. I don't want to get in trouble.
We try to be a PG
podcast. I want to be known as Dan.
All right.
Jay edits this podcast favorably for you, Jack.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jack's really getting a favorable edit this season.
You think he can go all the way? No.
All right, that is it for this week's Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. At the end of each of episode of any podcast that Jay and Jack Productions does, we thank very special patrons that support us through our Patreon page. And those members are Eckhart Richter and Richter and Chris O'Brien. And if you would like to be thanked if you'd like to be thanked by name, you can check out the different tiers of contributions that we do have on our page at patreon.com/JayandJack. All the information is also on our fantastic redesign of the classic JayandJack.com. It's an old website that got a refresh, a facelift. Kudos to Colleen and Rob Francescanini.
And if you are looking for the old site because you feel nostalgic, you can go to jayandjack.com/lost.
It's
still archived there.
That was one of my requirements. The old site still had to be in existence somewhere because I'm a nostalgic person.
Which we did at the very last minute, and then it got messed up, and then I was up until 2:30 in the morning that night.
You can't throw anything away, right, Jay?
Spoiler
alert. Not even a website. That is that. Feel free to give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Call anytime.
And also send an email to Lost Podcast.
Wait, what was the area code?
385.
385. That's your birth month and year.
Oh, my god!
That is easier to remember.
I don't want
to.
Did
you plan it that way?
No, that was just the only one available.
Because that's totally something that I would do.
309-0311. So it's 385-309-0311. Comment time, question, comments, and or theories.
Jack, did you hear what I did yesterday?
I did not.
I called the people that had the new 206-309 number.
And asked them for it?
I did.
Yeah, so if you do call the old 206-309-0311 number, it's somebody else's now.
Tell them to give it back.
I did. I offered them money and everything. I left a message.
I was like, Colleen, you gave away too much. Like, we really want it back.
I was like, this is so sentimental. We really want it back. We'll give you money for it.
Oh, we were going to give it away for free, but now we want $10,000.
I should have been like, I have a Chick-fil-A gift card if you're in the South.
But yes, 385-309-0311. Call anytime. And email lostpodcast@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JayandJack Group. We'll see you guys next week. In between that time, we will have a new Leftovers podcast. Because that's back, and you can listen to the previous one. We already did one for the first episode. Fantastic start to season two. So definitely check it out. Also, the Ramblecast, Jay and Jack's Ramblecast, is back. Also, you have Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys, and An Amazing Race with Jack and Cindy, and then next week marks the return of the Married Man Show. Woo! For everybody here. Very excited.
Also,
about the
Walking Dead with Three Stupid Guys.
Woo!
Yes.
When is all this going to be recorded? I have no idea, but woo! it's all out.
All right, all woo! The woo puns are getting wooful. And on that note, we'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.
Peace out.